Hello and welcome to Just Say F It, where today we are covering...
Learning to love it.
Learning to love it.
Well, we're going to start there anyway. No guarantees where we're going to end up.
Who knows? But that's where we're going.
We did start today going for a run around Melbourne. And
we did.
I particularly liked it because it was a really nice, closed 11K loop.
Yep.
And so I was really impressed that it was basically a big circle or square, various shapes, and along the river. And you know, it's really nice when it all ties in, and especially when it falls on a very even number.
Yeah, it literally fell on it. Usually I run a little bit of a different way, and it falls bang on 11.5.
No, it was perfect.
That's perfect.
I was a little bit nervous going into this run, not going to lie.
So was I.
Fair enough. Well, why were you nervous?
Because you're an elite runner, and I've had some form of illness where my heart rate has been through the roof. And I was like, oh, this will be either she'll go, this is too slow, or I, knowing me, will try and keep up and not say anything.
Yeah, and you're on your 8-week challenge now.
So I am, yeah.
You have to just keep up.
That's what I thought.
I guess for a bit of context, I'm coming back from having a bit of an injury. So I don't really even know how to explain it. It was a little bit of misdiagnosis, and we've sort of got to the bottom of it, and I'm back running after probably like 5 weeks in total. But yeah 5 weeks in total. But I did do a couple of little runs in there, which I definitely shouldn't have, because that set back my recovery a little bit. I was given the go ahead to run last week by the physio, and just because of the nature of the injury, because it's not so much a stress injury, but more of a foot. I don't even know how to explain it. Foot manipulation, sort of. This is really bad to explain it. Anyway, I was given the
go-ahead. It's hard for you to explain, because you've explained it to me, and I sort of think it's like the Chandler Bing job of foot injuries. Like, nobody knows, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, and this is why it's really frustrating, because I did have an MRI, did all the right things, saw a sports doctor, but still couldn't get a correct diagnosis. They were like, maybe it's bone stress, because the bone looks a little bit stressed, and so we'll just put you in a moon boot. But in fact, it was my osteo that actually came and saved the day. So from my understanding, one of the joints in my foot was just really stiff and just like locked together. So every time I tried to just take a step, even walking, I would just get this like 10 out of 10 really sharp pain whenever I was trying to move, because the joint was not moving and it was putting pressure on other parts of my foot. So it's it's always a little bit frustrating, because I feel like I've wasted time. I didn't actually need to have all this time off. I just needed it to be like freed up a little bit. So since the osteo has done that, I've been able, like, you know, it's still painful, but I'm able to move a lot more freely, and now I can actually run. So that brought us to today. We went for a run, and because of this, I have probably got back into running quicker than you typically would after having 4 or 5 weeks off. So we did 11Ks this morning.
We did.
This is my fourth run back. It was at a like pretty comfortable pace, but I was definitely nervous, because you just never know if you're going to be in pain, and you know how much pain to actually run through. And a little bit of discomfort is always okay, but if you're at a point where you're limping, then it's like, you know, you have to stop. So I was nervous starting this morning, but it was a beautiful day in Melbourne.
So nice.
What are we? End of July, and like the sun's finally coming out, and it was just one of those beautiful
mornings. It's kind of crisp.
Yeah. And so I guess the very first run that I did on this comeback from this injury, I did a walk jog, and I would do, I don't even know, a couple of K, and then, you know, walking in between. And it was really hard. I think my pace was probably maybe like 5 minutes, 20 per K for the jogging parts, and then just walking. And it was actually really hard. And so that's why I found it really interesting that to be able to run 11K, we had a couple of stops just to have a couple of sips of water, but other than that, you know, we ran the whole time. We averaged around just under 5 minutes per K, and
4:49s, I think it was
4:49s per K. So that was and
but who's counting?
Who's analyzing the data here? I guess the first thing that I find really interesting is how much easier it is to run when you're running with a friend versus when you're running by yourself.
Yeah,
and I guess, like, for me, I think definitely it took my mind off my injury, because you can certainly start to overthink things, you know, whether it's like pace or discomfort, whatever it is. It's so much easier to be overthinking it when you're running by yourself, but when you've got somebody to run with, the conversation just sort of like flows, and I think the effort feels a lot easier as well.
Very much so. I found, I was surprised how much easier I found that run. To be fair, though, I will say this. I definitely find it easier when I run with somebody. And I will, weirdly, most of the time run quicker. And for some reason, it's less painful. And for some reason, my heart rate seems to be lower. And I have no explanation as to what that is. But for the first time in probably like 3 weeks, this was the first time I woke up where my Garmin didn't say, you should keep in the coffin and not move. Yeah. Like, yeah. It was like, oh, maybe you are ready to exercise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I found really weird because I think I've definitely had some sort of illness. Mm. So, like, my heart rate dropped and I felt good. It was nice running with you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. That's great. It's great to hear. Appreciate the feedback. But yeah, I mean, all of these things, you can never just put feeling good down to like one thing. It's always just, I guess, like work, life stress, sleep, definitely, all these sorts of things. But I have always felt that running with other people, it just, like you say, it just certainly makes the effort feel a lot easier. And I've personally moved around a lot. I've lived in like different states, different countries.
Yeah.
And I've had periods where I've been training with groups and also training solo. And I definitely find running by myself, for me personally, it's not a thing. I hate it so much. And I find cardio in general a really hard thing to do. So if you can be distracted by other people when you're doing it, I think it's much easier.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I wonder if there's something in the distraction as well, because sometimes, like, if I'm running by myself, I'll be running and then I'll get something, like, I don't know, something will come through on my phone and for some reason I'll decide to look at it. And then, or I might be changing a song or, you know, something along those lines. And then I'll be choosing, like, oh, what's the next song that I'm going to put on? And then while I'm doing that, like, I haven't changed the speed that I'm running at, but my heart rate drops dramatically. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's just the taking your mind off of it. I wonder if there's some sort of tenseness in the thought.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. I actually...
If tenseness is a word.
I actually think... it's not.
It's not.
It's definitely not.
But I'll use it.
Let's go with tension.
Yeah. Tension.
So I actually noticed this. So I ran... I've only done a few half marathons. And for the very first time, I used gels in the race that I did in Manchester recently. And part of the reason for that, I mean, I think it's important to be fueling yourself. And I think from like my background is being a track runner. And so fueling is not something that is thought of as, you know, as with such importance as it is with like the longer.
You're not really smashing a gel on a 1500, are you?
No. Honestly, if you just ate like a packet of lollies for the whole day and raced at night, you'd probably be fine. You get through it. And not saying that that's a good thing to do, but it's, you know, it's less of a factor compared to ultra events. But I planned it and I was a bit strategic with my fueling. And so I took a gel after about 9 kilometers through the race. And I had, what do you call it? You don't sip at it, you know, take bits of it over about a kilometer. And for me, that was actually just a really good distraction, I think, from what I was actually doing. And so I kind of knew, I was like watching the kilometers tick over. And I knew that when I got to about 9K, I was like, all right, I think we're, you know, almost up. And then you, throughout that whole K, you're kind of concentrating on, holding pace, running with the people who you're running with. But also you've got the distraction of you're actually consuming something.
Yeah.
And I think that it just breaks it up, makes it...
Definitely.
Your concentration goes elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I usually chong those things down as quick as possible because I've never... Even ones that I've that I'm like, yeah, this is palatable, it's still not palatable for me. So I just... Because, I mean, you know, when we were saying in the last episode of that 10 events in 10 months and did a bulk amount of endurance events... So I was taking these Morton gels and they're like this gelatinous, like kind of thicker textured space food is the only way I'd probably describe it.
Are they flavored?
No. And it's like, it's the weirdest flavor. And after a while, it's a bit like, you know, if you just eat the same food all the time, the last thing you ever want to eat is that again.
Yeah.
Well, I did that in 2 years with those Morton gels. And like, I don't know how professional athletes that use them so consistently because they just make me want to gag in a bin. So I hammer those down.
I feel, okay, so I'm not an expert in this, but I would say that that is not the gel for you.
Let's
try another brand. Yeah, maybe one that's less gluggy.
I have found one that's like, it's okay. Like, it tastes a bit, it's called Precision Hydration, I think they're called. Precision Fuel, something like that.
Yeah.
And they kind of remind me of like when I was like 6 years old and we had these things called Froobs back in the UK. And it's like a long packet straw of yogurt.
Yeah.
But it was always like a strawberry flavor. But these kind of make your mind think that it's that, but it's not that.
Okay.
Which is kind of nice, I guess.
Okay, that's good. But I mean, there's so many varieties out
I'm
there.
I'm still like, get this thing down me.
Yeah. I think, okay, slightly deviated here. But also, that's an important thing. I actually have a couple of really good, I mean, I haven't explored it that much, but I've definitely got a couple that I would definitely recommend.
I've got one I would definitely, not recommend for me.
Okay, do you want to share it?
Yeah, I will, yeah.
It's not really what we're talking about.
Yeah,
but
I know,
go ahead.
Why not? Yeah. The first one is those sports and science ones. I don't know why, they just react really bad with me.
Okay.
The second ones are those winners ones in Coles.
Oh, yeah.
I was really bragging about them, and I was like, and they're only like $1.50. Like, this is amazing. And I went on a couple of runs with them, and then I did that half marathon that we completely forgot about. I forgot about it in the last episode. And I took one gel, and that was great. And then I took a second one, and in the middle of the woods, I had to go and do what bears do.
That's actually, I got a great story about this actually. I had to do an endurance relay recently, and one of the guys in the team, he actually swears by these. He'd done plenty of endurance, like, you know, very well accomplished, like distance runner, but he swears by these winners gels. However,
did he experience the same thing?
He did experience the same thing. And just to go another level, when we got back after doing this, it was a 360-kilometer relay between all of us, and he had to do this like long, like it was like 20k leg or 21k leg, I think, just by himself in the middle of the night. And when we got to the finish line, he suddenly realized that he didn't have his phone. And then upon reflection, we searched the cars, but can't find the phone anywhere. And then he remembered that in the middle of the night, during his 20k leg, after taking these winners things, he did have to go and do his business in the bush. And that's when he had to pull his pants down. And that's probably when the phone dropped out of his pocket.
Oh, no.
So they'd all like gone back to, gone somewhere. And there's only a couple of us left. So he wanted us to go and search for it and literally have to find this point. And we were like, oh God, this is going to happen.
Oh.
Anyway, farmer comes along, saves the day, finds the phone next to whatever he also left out there. But I would say moral of the story
is always find a farmer to help you look for your phone.
But also I distinctly remember it was the winners,
the
winners gels that did that to him. But in saying that, he's actually had no bad experiences, and I feel like it's something that he is usually familiar with previously. But
never have it. But
I guess you never know. I also think that
the only winner was winners the company. Because me and your friend were losers.
Literally the only winner, yeah. But, yeah, very impressive to get that phone back anyway.
Yeah.
I think that getting back to our original point of, exercising with people, and I certainly think, especially if you're just starting out, you kind of if you're starting out or if you're just doing your own thing, I think there are certain perks to doing, you know, you're running or you exercise solo, because you can choose the time that you go, so it fits into your schedule, less faffing to organize and meet with other people, but also you can run at your own pace. So there's definitely perks in it. I know a lot of people like it, but for me personally, I have had, I distinctly remember a time that I was trying to, I had a coach that was sort of helping me, but he was only helping me. He was the only I was the only runner that he'd ever sort of like coached. And so all my sessions were by themselves. And I just remember there was one session in particular where I just stopped and I just started crying in a bush because I was like, I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, there's nothing wrong. I was like, it's just really hard. Like, the effort feels really hard. My pace is really slow. And I was just really upset and disheartened by the whole thing.
Interesting.
And I know that if I had I was pretty fit. I was running well and I could have kept up with probably if there was somebody else there. But I was just the effort, the mental energy it takes to first of all get up and get yourself motivated. And then once you're out the door, you've then got to motivate yourself as well to push, to actually like push yourself to run at a hard pace. And so it takes so much more effort.
Definitely.
And I'm always really envious of people who do team sports in this way, because all you have to do is turn up to the team training and you get carried along with the energy.
Well, this is why there's so many people, and I was one of these people, that would play football. And I would always say, you could get me to play football for 3 hours. I used to do it on a Wednesday. And I'd play football for 3 hours. This was like playing outfield as well. It was like five a side. But I was like, isn't it funny how you can run around for 3 hours playing football, but I would never go for a run for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it, whilst doing the running around for 3 hours playing football, it never, ever felt like I was like, you know, it was like an exercise I hated, because my mind was completely taken off of it. Because, you know, yeah, there's times where you walk and there's times where you'll run, and but there's the so as though your mind disassociates it from it being just straight up cardio exercise.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's like, well, it's gamified. This is what we teach, like, the, you know, coaches who are teaching developing athletes. It's like you've got to trick them into into exercising. And I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you go to a run club, and I think I mentioned in the first episode how I got involved in running, and you know, I was just turning up for the social aspect. And I think you sort of, you've got to trick yourself into going for a run. And I guess, like, for us, it was great just to have a catch up this morning, go for a run. And when you get immersed in a conversation, you forget that you're actually running.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I think it just kind of helps helps things flow a lot nicer.
Do you know what's also really interesting about like training with somebody is that, let's say you've decided that you want to get fit. This was a study done by the National something of learning something. Like, yeah, I can't, it always evades me what it is, but
ChatGPT?
It is a, it, no, it isn't. It's a genuine study. And if you were going to go and just say, right, I'm going to get fit, and it was just like by yourself, you just said to yourself, I'm going to get fit, you've got a 10% chance of it being successful. If you decide to do that and you create a plan, you've got a 50% chance. If you do that, you have the plan and you tell a friend, you've got a 65% chance. And if you do all of that and then you have a friend that you do it with, you have a 95% chance of success. And the reason why is because when you plan something, you plan to turn up to do something with a friend, you are way more likely to turn up, because also it is easier to, it's easier to lie to yourself than it is to lie to someone else. So if someone's there, you always feel obliged to turn up. So it's why also training with people is such a great way to start exercising.
Yep.
Because you will both definitely have to be there.
Yep, exactly. And especially even snoozing your alarm in the morning as well.
Impossible.
Yeah, there's plenty of times where, you know, you feel like you can justify sleep in, 100%. Especially if you're tired. Of course you can justify a sleep in, because, you know, look after your body and you'll be more productive at work or whatever, or you'll have more endurance to be able to, like, last through the day and then good for your family when you come home from work, whatever it is. But then also it's like you're going to be tired anyway, probably, and
100%.
And getting up and doing that, doing the exercise in the morning can certainly help with that. But I've got my original point with that. But, I think that if you've got someone that's going to hold you accountable to just turn up, it's so easy to, it's easy to sort of force the habit anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because when I started my, like, triathlon training, and I know I have I had a coach, but I would start, like, most of my exercise was by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd do my running by myself, do my cycling by myself. Sometimes I'd do my swims with my friend Tom, that we did all of our Ironmans together. And usually we would go on a bike together, because honestly, a 4-hour bike ride by yourself is just so dull.
Yeah.
And even as much as you can really, like, go, God, look at the amazing views, like, it's so nice. 4 hours on a bike by yourself, like, regardless, is just on straight roads. It's not as fun. Then they got to a point where, while I was doing this 10 in 10, Tom stopped doing the Ironmans and I continued doing these events. And then I was training by myself and I was like, this is a slog. Like, you know, even just doing some of those events. And then, but because I was just so used to it, like, I would just keep doing it. And then I discovered through my mate Lewis took me to a run club for the first time. The thought of a run club to me was just lunacy. I was like, why the hell would just a group of people come together to run 10K and then have a coffee after? I was like, well, that's just such an alien concept to me. But then I went and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And because of that run club now, I've made so many friends from it. But also, like, running, just going and running the 10K that they do, like, we have so much fun doing it. And there's so many people that we, you know, it can be like, does anybody fancy going for a long run on Saturday that's part of the run club? Somebody's up for it. And it's just an amazing community to do it. And it completely flipped my entire thought on training with people. And now, like me and my mate Lewis, we always usually go for a run Tuesdays and Thursdays. You took his place. And no, don't be silly. You betrayed me with someone else as well. So, but like, there was maybe a run last week. I had to go by myself because he was supposed to be running with me, but then he messaged me saying, "Oh, sorry, I didn't get much sleep, and like I just need to sleep a little bit more." So I ended up going out by myself, and it was so much harder because I was doing it by myself.
I just remembered the context behind that. What? Sleep.
Yeah, sleep. Yeah. But also, I found out when. It was the run club that we went to go do our first Exploring Melbourne Run Club's videos that are coming out. That he hadn't not. He,
That's what
yeah,
I meant.
Yeah, he hadn't had a bad night's sleep. He just had this magnesium foot rub, and he confessed in front of me by accident that he'd had two of the best night's sleeps of his life. And it turns out that he just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's fair enough as well. Okay, so I'm actually really intrigued by that because I'm actually a bit shocked here when just to hear you say that, like, the concept of people coming together to go for a run and then a coffee was so new to you. And I think that kind of blows my mind because this is something that I have done since I was, like, a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, this is so – just growing up into the running world. So growing up in the running world, I would definitely call myself as one of the OG runners of this generation.
For sure.
And I grew up in a time where running was not cool.
Yeah.
And it's never been cool until now. It's
like, 100%.
And so it's just been so normal for us to, you know, and that's what you do on your weekends. Like, Saturday was always, like, I guess more of an interval training session, and then you'd sort of maybe go to brunch afterwards, and then Sunday, long run, same thing, brunch afterwards. And that's just such a normal thing. And so I guess I want to hear a bit more about, like, what – like, I guess, your experience when you first went to a run club.
Yeah, well, the reason why it will be definitely alien to you is because for anybody that's just got into running or is, you know, slowly getting into it and they're getting that, let's say they're doing 5K and, you know, they're sort of just gradually getting on, I can guarantee you so many will be saying, how on earth do you talk while you run? Like, that's, and that for me was one of those questions because I never really had to do it. Like, and because I was always running by myself, I, like, even though I was running, you know, far, I was still not doing it with people. So the concept of having to have a conversation with someone, just, I was like, how on earth do you do that? And it was only when I started running with a couple of friends that I was like, oh, I can talk whilst I run. That's interesting. I didn't know that I could do that. But the first time that I went to the run club, I turned up. There was a load of people there. It was crazy how many people were there. And I was just... and it hadn't been going for long. I go to this run club called Happy Feet, and it hadn't been going for long at all. But there was, I don't know, maybe 40 people there, something like that. And I was like, why are there so many people that have come together to go for a run and then a coffee at the end? This is wild.
Some sort of cult.
Yeah, basically. I was like, must be. Like, you know, to be honest with you, it was a time where running just started blowing up. So, and because, as I say, at the time I wasn't on Strava, and all my running was by myself, I didn't really notice the sort of boom and blow up of running at the time. But then when I was there, I was like, oh, this is pretty crazy. But it's so funny how you start running with these people and then you start having chats with people and then you realize that everybody's so like-minded because, you know, first of all, you all like running. So there's one commonality.
Yeah.
But everyone's got this, you know, this sort of internal drive or, you know, that they want to get better. And everybody has this, the same kind of feeling towards, you know, exercise and bettering themselves as well. So it was really nice. And the other thing that was really nice about that run club, and it still is, so, you know, if anybody's in the Melbourne area and they want to come down to Happy Feet, it's good.
They also have really cool hoodies.
Really cool hoodies. Is that, like, some people go and walk, and some people will run and walk. Some people will, you know, be at the front of the pack, and then, you know, once we turn around at the 5K point, then it becomes a literal race for the front of the people at the front. But it's just sort of choose your own adventure, and everybody waits at the end. And I just thought that's, really is for, you know, these run clubs really are for everyone. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've always been such an advocate of run clubs after. It's actually why we're doing this whole thing that we're about to do, where we've done the first one of exploring Melbourne's run clubs, to help people be able to see that they're not intimidating, and, you know, not everybody is running as if they're Eliud Kipchoge trying to break a 2-hour marathon. Everyone's just going, and everyone's at different stages. So I think it's just a great way to do it.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to know, because sometimes some run groups, they have, you know, maybe like fancy footwear, fluoro clothes.
For sure.
They look a bit, just because of the aesthetic that they've got. And, you know, some of them are more performance, and then some are like super inclusive and yeah, you know, go at your own pace. But it reminds me of when I was probably like mid to early 20s, and I was living at home, and my parents had mentioned something about, I think they were concerned that I wasn't socializing enough.
Oh, really?
And I was like old enough for them to like not be concerned about it. Like I was pretty independent, do a lot of traveling with my running. And I do a lot of running in general. And I am actually a pretty social person, and I love community. I love getting amongst everything. But I think they just didn't realize how social running was. And so I had like a training group, and we would be meeting up 3 times a week for our training sessions. And then, I mean, I'm running every day. And so the days that I'm not meeting up with my actual group, I'm meeting up with friends to go for a social run.
Yeah, nice.
And so that would just be part of, so I would not feel the need to be going out for dinner with friends or going out at night with friends, because I would have already caught up with like a friend almost every single day, having a run and then maybe having a coffee.
I think they didn't actually, the healthy way.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't actually understand, I think, just how social running can be.
Yeah.
I think unless you're in it, you sort of don't really realize that.
Oh, it really is as well. Like, especially now, like, you can just go to any run club, and they will most of the time be incredibly welcoming, and you can meet some people and go for a run and have a chat. And I think it's really nice that there's some, I think also there's something, that I think there's some sort of, can't quote me on this study, but it's, you always have better conversations with people when you are walking, because you're side by side, you're not facing each other. And it's the same when you're running, and it's the same when you're driving. You know, people actually end up having deeper conversations whilst they're driving, because you're not face to face struggling to look at each other in the eye while you're telling each other about your most recent problems.
There's something about it. And I think whether it's not because you, whether it's because you're not having to maintain eye contact, but also I think that there's no pressure to keep the conversation flowing. And so
you can just run away.
But also you can talk when you feel like it, and then if you're not feeling like it, then you can just kind of listen into what other people are talking about, or whatever. The conversation can just kind of flow with whatever the mood is feeling. Whereas you're not sort of sitting opposite someone feeling kind of forced in that conversation. I think it's a really nice thing as well. I guess, so there's like plenty of perks about joining run groups and getting involved in that way. But I guess one of the maybe the downfalls to, if you're like new to starting running and then you're joining in these run groups and you get enthusiastic, and you might be doing a little bit more than your body can kind of handle.
For sure.
This is when we sort of get niggles and little beginning of injuries that can kind of pop up, and we don't necessarily know how to handle them well. So talking about doing other sort of sports, you obviously do triathlon, so you have a combination of different activities within your training. How beneficial do you think it is for other, for if, you know, if for example, you're just training for running, you have no interest in triathlon and all these things, because I mean, there, in my opinion, there's a very big difference between just going out for a run and then having to you know, be a cyclist and have the equipment for that, and then even committing to going to the swimming pool. And I know I'm very good at procrastinating going to the swimming pool, because it's like, it's a whole thing, it's a whole process, whereas running, you
you've
can't
gotta get
you,
wet
That's and my then issue. The whole thing, you gotta wash your hair, you know, like sort all that out, and then you've got goggles marks on your face for the rest of the day, all of these things. And so running is obviously, it's super accessible and it's super easy just to get on with. But I guess a downside of that is that you can't do it that much, especially if you're new to it, because that's when you get little niggles.
Well, this is what I was saying to you when I first started training. I decided, well, the first time I attempted to run was I decided that I was going to run 5K every day. And I'd also had a bus knee, so the idea of this was ridiculous. And it was always around Albert Park. And on day four, my knee blew up and like I couldn't run after that. And that's because, you know, I was overweight and I was trying to run 5K every day. So you've definitely got to build it up and do it in the right way. It's funny because the glorious thing about triathlon for me, and the reason why, I think it's one of the reasons why I really just stuck to exercise, is because, I mean, first of all, there's a plan that I'm getting given from a coach. But the most important thing is that it always feels so varied. For me, if I just had to run every day, I love running. Like, it's my favorite of the three. Makes me so happy. It just gives me such a boost after and while I'm doing it. But if I had to do that every day, and it was just running, I think I'd get bored of it. Whereas the glorious thing about triathlon training is, you know, you go for a run, great. Then the next day might be a run and a cycle, and you know, you've got your Zwift. Then for indoor cycling, which is just epic. And then you've got a swim the next day, and then it could be a run and a bike on the Thursday, and then the Friday would be a swim, and then Saturday's like a longer run, and then Sunday is usually on the bike, or it's the other way around. Sorry, it's Saturday that's usually like a long bike, and then Sunday's the run because your legs might still be a bit fatigued just to get you used to it. But that variation makes me so happy. Like, it's just the... Yeah. It just makes me feel like, oh, it's, you know, there's just different things going on. Mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, if you are looking into getting into triathlon, there's so many ways that you can do it for cheap, but it still will cost you more than any than just getting into running. Like, it's not a cheap sport for sure.
And then I guess, like, from a running perspective as well, like, there are still perks to, you know, not, you don't have to do it all the time, but I certainly think that there's perks to adding in sort of like some swimming or some cycling or cross training in different ways, Pilates, gym, to help, I guess, boost your running.
Definitely. Do you know what I think is, and I don't know if you've ever felt this, but I've got a couple of friends to do it as well, and the results have been similar. Is if you go for a bike ride that's like, I know this it sounds absolutely ludicrous what I'm about to say, but that's about 2 hours long, like 2.5 hours long. Because it's low impact, your heart rate's going to stay kind of lower. After that, the next day, whatever effort you would usually have with, like, I don't know, your heart rate will drop by about 5 beats, and you'll still be able to maintain the same speed. And I've noticed that the impact that cycling has on my running for bettering my running has been so great that. I would say it's one of my biggest contributing factors to being able to run long quickly.
Interesting. That is actually really interesting. I would say I personally haven't found that with cycling because I don't know what it is. I'm not good at it. And I think even yesterday when we did a strength class and we had to do some spinning, it was like quite clear just how naturally you are so much stronger at cycling than I am, just trying to get there. I don't know, we're looking at some number and we're trying to get as low as possible, and you were significantly lower than mine. Maybe I just don't have like the leg strength or the ability to do that. But for me, I would say swimming helps quite a lot. I think also, for me, swimming feels like it's almost like a massage for my body too.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing a lot of running, I mean, I'm running like above 100 Ks a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very repetitive. Even if you're running at different speeds, it's still the same movement. And so for me, swimming is like a great way just to kind of flush out your body. And same as Pilates, I think, in the same way. It's a little bit of strength, but a lot of mobility through your joints.
Well, I got absolutely schooled in my first Pilates that you can see on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Which was so humbling. And you were saying that wasn't even a hard one.
It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard at all. I wouldn't even say it was slightly challenging.
It was for me.
I was actually thinking about you this morning when I was doing my Pilates session, because I've got a great instructor that I really would love you to try one of her classes, because it is absolutely savage. And I feel like I've got a pretty high tolerance to Pilates and, look, yeah, maybe strength, but definitely Pilates, because I've done quite a lot of it. But I have found a really fantastic teacher.
Yeah,
and so nice. I specifically go to her classes because it is, like, it is really hard. And I think, but I think in the same way, it really complements your running, because it can... you know, you're working on the stabilizing muscles, but also, yeah, like literally to the point of fatigue. And,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, and through different movement patterns as well, which I think is really helpful.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say what you were saying on the swimming. So there's a guy called Sean Conway who recently, like last year, broke the world record for the most consecutive Ironman distances done in a row, and he did 105 Ironmans in 105 days.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely insane. And you'd think that that record wouldn't have been broken, but like 3 months later, another guy took on the thing and he did 120 in 120 days. But I heard Sean Conway talk about it, and he said that he would wake up in the morning after, you know, every morning he would try and go down the stairs, and it just wasn't possible. And then he'd get into the pool and he'd be like, I just do not know how I'm going to do this today. And then by swimming that 3.8 kilometers, which is a far way to swim, he said that by the time he finished, his entire body felt like it was so flexible again, because the water had just worked its way around his body and flushed everything out.
Yeah, that's interesting. So it's not even, and that's how I feel. It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be an aerobic effort, but it's almost like giving back to your body.
Yeah.
And that, so just thinking about that, my mind just went to how long it takes to do an Ironman. Mm. And that's like, it's a good, it will take half a day to do that. And it's so
longer than that.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, because if it's like a fast Ironman is like, what, 10 hours? So if you're doing it, like if you're doing 120 in a row, I'm thinking it would be like 14 hours that you get out to.
Basically 14 hours was his time.
Yeah, and so it's like all you're doing is exercising in and maybe sleeping if you can.
Basically.
For 120 days, that's such a big commitment. And so I can't even imagine how much damage that would be doing to your body. But then realizing that, yeah, having the swimming in there and then the cycling as well, it's different ways to flush out your legs.
What's really funny is what he was talking about was that the guy who he broke the record from, a guy called James, I don't know, he's called the Iron Cowboy. He did 101 in 101 days. Mm-hmm. And he every single evening, that guy was getting physio for like 3 hours every night. But then he wasn't sleeping properly. And he would, you know, I mean, because there's only so much time that you've got in a day. And then every single day was just, you know, an absolute slog. Whereas Sean Conway did something different, where he chose to optimize the amount of sleep that he got, and he didn't have a physio come around as much. So he had like a physio that would come and see him, like, I think it was like once every 3 or 4 days rather than like every day. And he got through the thing with ease, and he believes that the power of sleep was the thing that got him through it.
Yeah, it is interesting as well to, and I guess this is when it's going to be so like individualized and so subjective, because some people's bodies might be a bit more robust, and so, you know, you can heal on your own just with some sleep, whereas other people might need actually more physical treatment as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but it is interesting, like different ways to sort of manage it.
Back on the topic we were talking about with different exercises, you know, be it that you've got into running or, you know, you're trying to vary things, because I think variation is the thing that makes things more enjoyable. Doing it with people and variation. And something that I've come to realize, for everyone listening, we'll be doing a series on our Instagram, effort.app, for anybody who wants to go and check it out. We've been doing a series that's called Find Your Class, where we've been going around all these fitness classes, trying to help people see how easy it is to get into a class, and that they're not intimidating, that they're enjoyable things, they can get you exercising really, really quickly. But also, they're usually behind closed doors, so we're trying to show you what they're like and to help people get into exercise. Since we've been doing that, we've been doing quite a lot of strength classes, really, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I've always been saying for a while, because, you know, I always joke that Ironman is an endurance sport, it's not a strength sport. And it always takes a bit of a backburn, because it's like, how do you manage that with strength, and then, you know, going and doing ultra endurance because, you know, you've got to run and you can't have your legs burning from leg day. But since we've been doing strength classes, I've noticed, first of all, a new enjoyment for exercise that I forgot about. And I've also noticed the difference that it started having on my exercise.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that as well. And I think mixing it up, it keeps your mind fresh as well. As it, like, so not only does it change, you know, physically what your body, the different muscles that are being used, but it also keeps your mind, you know, excited and new and interested and motivated.
Yeah.
I think last year I was determined to run, I really wanted to run a half marathon, and I wanted to break 70 minutes for a half marathon. So I had a pretty big goal. And I said to myself, I'm pretty comfortable running between like maybe 110 to 120 Ks a week. Pretty comfortable there. But I was like, if I want to step up, run a half marathon, I need to run 130 Ks a week. So I had that number in my mind and I was obsessed. Didn't have a coach or anything, just doing it myself. And I thought, nah, I just need to get the mileage in. I was really busy because I was like working full time and then studying in the evening. So I had a very short, like kind of basically 90-minute window between getting home from teaching to then having my night classes. And that's when I crammed in my training. And so sometimes I would like cram in just an 18K run in between that. It was all very much all very similar pace.
Yeah.
Everything that I was doing, and my main focus was just getting the mileage in because I thought, yeah, that's important.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just really interesting because I maintained that for quite a while. But what I noticed is that my endurance didn't actually improve. I just got lots of niggles because I spent all any free time I had, I was basically running.
Yeah.
And then so I'd go from like teaching to then running to then sitting down for like 2 hours every single night, 2 or 3 hours a night.
Yeah.
I just got lots of tendon injuries, so like hamstring tendon, Achilles, plantar fascia, all of it. Like it was all really bad. I didn't enjoy running. It was so monotonous, and then my pace just gradually got slower because I'm just doing the same thing and just fatiguing the same muscle groups over and over again.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good for my body. It wasn't good for my mind.
Yeah.
And then there was like I think there was like a critical point where I was like, nah, something's got to change. And like I did change it, and I think I also pulled back from a day of work, which gave me more time so that I could actually get to the pool and I could get to the gym and I could do these other things. And it was at that point where I stopped forcing myself to run 130 Ks a week, and I was like, I'm just going to pull it back to like 90 or 100 strategically, but then swapping some of the runs for bike sessions and Pilates and gym and swimming. And these sorts of things, I think that made a really big difference. First of all, to I think my mind, so I really enjoyed it. And because I was enjoying it, my body was probably a lot more relaxed.
Yeah.
And especially if you're just trying to get mileage and just trying to run as far as you can all the time, I guess it's not exciting enough to, well, like you're tired, right? So if you're trying to run somewhere between 15 and 18 Ks every day, instead of doing that, I would do 10 kilometers and then I would be running at a faster pace because I knew it was going to be over sooner. And I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, cool, only 10 Ks. So not only do you feel physically better, but you feel like mentally, I guess, more excited about it too.
Yeah. And you can run a 10K pretty quickly as well.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of done. Like you can do it. Yeah, you don't need that much time. You don't need that much energy. You don't have to psych yourself into it so much because it's just kind of easier to get out the door and just do it. I know that 10K is still a long way, but for me, when I was used to running like, you know, 16, 18K every day, it was significantly shorter. And I definitely improved significantly from that, not only in my enthusiasm towards it, but also just in my running ability as well, because there was more variety. It was more interesting.
Yeah, it's funny because you can, I believe that you can stagnate in exercise.
For sure.
You know how so many people, I've just been doing the same thing every week and that's just what I do. And I've always found that really fascinating. And then suddenly they'll go, oh yeah, I'm getting a bit bored with exercise. But then they don't change anything it's always the same thing that they stick to. And I think it's been really evident for me whilst we've been doing this, these strength classes, how much my body has missed it. I think I remember saying to you that it was like my body feels like I could feel it in my muscles as well, that it felt like it was that when you're just desperate for a certain type of meal that you crave.
Yeah.
And you're just like, like I really want that Mexican from down the road, like, oh my god. And then you eat it and you're like, that's hit the exact like button that I needed it to hit. And I felt like that with these strength classes.
And it's hard, I think, for runners as well, because you don't necessarily realize what you're missing.
Yeah.
And I think that especially, especially when if you are training for something, you know, or if you're doing something new and running is your main focus, that's what you're going to prioritize, and for you sure. sort of you tend to neglect these things. And it's the same thing, if you've got 60 minutes free, then you're going to want to go for a 60 minute run. You don't really care about the warm up and the warm down, or you're certainly not going to be thinking about gym. But these are all these things that are going to complement your running and actually ultimately like help so much more than you know, if you put 10 minutes aside to do your pre-run activation, then that's actually going to help you a lot more than jogging for 10 minutes longer.
Yeah, because
you're going to get a lot more out of your run. And the same thing like with strength as well. If you put, you know, eliminate one run in your week and add in a strength session, like, you know, I'm sure you're going to get more benefit.
Yeah, doing that. Definitely. I think as well, like we were saying, variation is so important to enjoying it. But I also think one of the things that's really important is just taking all of the pressure off. Like, you know, when... you know, there's the pressure of to run as fast as you can, or, you know, like, oh, I can't stop whilst I'm on a run because, you know, my Strava, or like, that. I think sometimes it's good to take the pressure off and not be so harsh on yourself. I think when you're trying to enjoy it, I think one of the things that we all do is we can, especially me, like you get into running or cycling, or, you know, you get into the gym or whatever it is you're doing. It's all metrics. Everything is metrics now, and it's all data. And then you get really deep into the data just naturally, like 100% you do. And then I feel like that can sometimes take away from the enjoyment. Like, because you can be so in the data, you can then, if you're going on a nice run and you see like a view and you're like, oh, that's a really nice view. The amount of times when I first started that I was like in it, I just wouldn't stop to look at the view. I'd be like, no time. Man's got to run.
Yeah. No, it's all part of the enjoyment. And I think particularly as well, if you're new to running, or if you're getting back into it after an injury or even some time off, I'm like such a big believer in walk jogging.
Yeah.
And I know particularly like runners that I've coached towards races that, you know, they're doing like a 10K for the first time or a half marathon for the first time. Like, I'm such a big believer in chunking your like the running intervals, and so, you know, you might just be running for like 6 minutes and then you have like a minute or two walking, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, it's still very much a run, but it's just broken up, and that in a way that, like, if you're tackling a new distance, then you can be able to hold your pace for longer, because then you've got like a, you know, a short walking period where you can reset. You can also hold your form better as well, so less likely to get injuries, and you can be like focused on that rather than letting it slip because you're just trying to hang on.
Yeah,
and I think it's a lot more manageable as well.
Well, it's like time on feet, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Heard this thing recently about that, where your body doesn't know how far or how quick you've run; it just knows how long you've been doing it for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that really resonated me when I was thinking about, you know, endurance events, and you go out and you just start running and you're slogging yourself, or, you know, even when you're doing slow runs, it's a discipline in itself.
Yeah.
But you know, you get to a point where you're like, oh, I need to just not stop at any point. But your body doesn't know the difference.
Yeah.
If you need to walk, just as long as you're still out there doing it for that length of time. And I listened to this thing recently that was, don't focus on the distance, don't focus on the time. No, don't focus on the distance, don't focus on your speed, just focus on the time that you're doing it for.
Mm. And the effort, I think.
And the effort, yeah.
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 So not getting fixated on, and I mean, I feel like we're all guilty of this, and I certainly am in that, especially coming back from an injury, and you feel like you know what your jogging pace should be like, or your threshold pace should be like, whatever it is, going by feel rather than getting caught up on that, because your body doesn't actually know pace, your body just knows effort. And if you're running too hard for your current ability, then your body's going to have a really hard time actually absorbing that training session. And you know, you can easily get into a hole, which is really hard to get out of if you're pushing yourself too hard. So you're better off just you know, being patient with the process, listening to your body and what it actually needs, so that you can absorb the training and move forward.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. Is RPE? What does that stand for again? Rate.
Rate of perceived exertion.
Yeah. What does that go up to 10, or is it up to like 13 or something, or 14?
I think 10. Yeah. I always go 10 out of 10.
I always would have.
Or a percentage. I like to, like, the runners I coach, I always give them like a percentage of efforts.
Yeah, so that they can feel like this is a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. That's definitely worked for me when I started. Because when I started, I had this Samsung fitness watch, which actually was, if I'm going to be honest with you, it had no idea about what fitness was. So yeah. I just took it off.
Yep.
And then my coach was like, just jog and then feel like what you feel what you think the rate of perceived exertion is. So if you think, if you're running and you go, this feels a bit like a 6 out of 10, like, do you keep it as a 6 out of 10 and just keep running? Is a good way for people to do it, because not everybody's gone and got a fitness watch. No, not everyone's going to go get a Garmin to start with, although I'd recommend it. But
But even still, your own personal RPE is definitely going to be better than a brand new Garmin anyway.
Yeah,
because I know a lot of people are obsessed with different heart rate zones, and I'm sure that we can actually probably get into this in a different podcast, because for sure. I'm very opinionated about this, and everyone is obsessed with zone 2 and keeping in your different zones. But the reality is, how many people are actually being tested properly in a lab and have current numbers that that you're working with, and how accurate is your watch and everything. So I think certainly it's good to go by heart rate, and also, but going listening to your body. And if the effort's feeling really hard and you need to pull back the pace, then do that on a particular day. And, there's so many different factors that contribute. So, stress.
It's really funny, because we will definitely cover this on a different podcast because, this whole zone 2 thing, I heard something really fascinating about it recently, which was there's a guy called Sam Long, who is a professional triathlete. And he was saying how his zone 2 is sometimes in an area that is really uncomfortable, but that's because his body has been able to deal with lactate. His lactate threshold is nowhere near what it's actually so high that he can be in zone 2 for
it feel hard,
and it would be really hard.
I think
for
I'm
him.
A little bit like that too.
Yeah,
it feels uncomfortable, and are we supposed to be doing threshold reps or something? Then it's it's not. It's not that. It's also definitely a sign of overtraining too. if your heart rate's low but the effort feels high, and so there are so many different things. It could mean that you're fit. It could be genetics, or it could actually be your overtraining and you're not in a good place. So there are so many things, and that's why it's really hard to have a blanket rule, I think, for everything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
So last tips on enjoying exercise, which was...
Don't do it alone. And you were going to go off on a different tangent.
Yeah.
I said it. I called it at the start. I would say explore different run groups and follow along on our Instagram page to get introduced to different run groups, because I think it is daunting. You never know where to research. And so I think, we're going to try and do the groundwork so that we can explore different run clubs. But I reckon do it with people. And even if you don't have a run club near you, do it with a mate or do something, because I think it certainly makes it more enjoyable.
I agree. I would say for mine, do it with someone for sure, because you definitely will keep each other accountable. Don't be so hard on yourself. If you need to walk, or you need to stop to look at that view, or I don't know, that day you're just not feeling it as much while you're exercising, you're still exercising. So, just make it whatever you need it to be that day.
Starting slow.
And start slow, for sure.
Do something that you can maintain.
Oh, because really, the first 6 weeks are going to be pretty hard. So try and find as many ways.
Honestly, it's always hard, because the fitter you get, the faster you run.
Yeah. You're always pushing. Well, this is the thing. Everyone goes, oh, no, it gets easier. It doesn't. You just get you just slog yourself more. You just get faster at the thing that you're doing.
And
so,
you get addicted to it.
Yeah, and you get really addicted to it. Because as I said to Lissy before we depart from this, I really enjoy being in the pain cave now, which is a really sinister thing to say to myself.
But we embrace it.
But we do. So that's it.
All right, thanks for listening.
Thanks so much, and
see you next time.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
I need to move my car as well, because it's 2 hour park.